Well, good morning and welcome to our second week of doing things via internet. Today I'm actually preaching to you from the entryway of the church. I figured we'd change venue just to make things a little bit different. And before we do, take a look at our text, which is going to be Mark chapter 4, verses 35 to 41. And let's go ahead and open up in a word of prayer. Gracious Heavenly Father, we do thank you for this being one more day that you have given us the ability to speak and to rise and to worship you. Lord, I do pray for our church family, which is scattered around us this morning, and that even though we are not gathered together as a physical body of believers in this church building, Lord, that as we're sitting in our living rooms, our dens, or in our houses, or wherever we might be, I ask that you would just use this time to encourage, to undergird, to lift up, to challenge each and every one of our church family. And we do thank you for this time, and we thank you that your word is still living and active. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, today's sermon is entitled, Jesus Calms the Storm. And I'd like to begin first by actually reading some lyrics to a song that I'm not sure that Ellington Baptist Church knows, or if they do, we've not sung since I've been here, is entitled, A Shelter in the Time of Storm. Listen to the lyrics. It says, the Lord's our rock, in him we hide, secure whatever ill betide, a shade by day, defense by night, no fears alarm, no foes affright. The ranging storms may round us beat, we'll never leave our safe retreat. O rock divine, O refuge dear, be thou our helper ever near. O Jesus is a rock in a weary land. And after each one of those phrases, the actual title of the song is repeated, where it says, the Lord our rock, in him we hide, a shelter in the time of storm. And I've been thinking about everything that we've been experiencing over the last few weeks. And right now we are in a storm that is not of our own making. And I think this text today, as we take a look at Jesus teaching the disciples a valuable lesson, is something that we can personalize and see right now today as we take a look at just how much our world has changed even in the last month. As we consider the effects of the storm that we're calling the coronavirus. And so let me begin by reading our text, which comes out of Mark chapter 4. And if you have your Bibles, go ahead and turn there. And we're going to be reading together verses 35 through 41. It says, on that day when he had come, or when evening had come, he said to them, let us go across to the other side. And leaving the crowd, they took him with them in the boat, just as he was, and other boats were with him. And a great windstorm arose, and the waves were breaking into the boat, so that the boat was already filling. But he was in the stern, asleep on the cushion. And they woke him and said to him, teacher, do you not care we are perishing? And he awoke and rebuked the wind and said to the sea, peace, be still. And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. He said to them, why are you so afraid? Have you still no faith? And they were filled with great fear and said to one another, who then is this that even the wind and the sea obey him? Well, as we consider this passage as one probably well known to you, by way of context, Jesus has been spending the day doing all kinds of interactive things in the way of parables to the people and then explaining them to the disciples. And so at this point of the day, when evening had come, Jesus found himself ready for a respite. And so he said, let us go across to the other side. As he had the disciples join him and they all entered this boat. And so what I'd like to do is just take a few moments to look at some of the truths concerning this storm. The first thing that we need to understand as we take a look at this text is that this is a God-ordained storm. And it's not something that the disciples were looking for. It wasn't something that they had, as we'll find in a moment, any control over. It was something that God had ordained. And Jesus Christ, as he said, let us go across to the other side, knew that he was always, as he was obedient to the Father in the Father's will, and that there would be nothing that would stop him from accomplishing all that he was sent to do. So the thing we need to understand as we take a look at this storm we find ourselves in, that we call the coronavirus, is that it is a God-ordained storm. That God has not been taken surprise in any way, shape, or form. That he is very much aware, and that this is a result of man's sin, man's rebellion against him. And so as the disciples find themselves in this storm, what you need to understand too for us today is that God's timing is always perfect. You can go back to the Old Testament book of Ecclesiastes chapter 3 verse 1. It says, "For everything there is a season." So for right now, we are in a season, and that season is called coronavirus, and a time for every matter under heaven. And this is reiterating the fact that God is in control, that everything that happens here on earth is a season, as it prepares in the culmination of all things when Christ returns and all things are made complete. And heaven and earth no longer exist, and we find ourselves in eternity. I think it's interesting as you take a look at that Ecclesiastes passage that after saying that for every time there is a season and every time for every matter under heaven, verse 5b says a time to embrace and a time to refrain from bracing. Or maybe we should look at it through this lens. There is a time to embrace and there's a time to be 6 foot away. But whatever the case is, we need to remember that God's timing is always perfect. And what God's going to do is he's going to use this opportunity to teach the disciples a valuable lesson about themselves, but also about himself as he reveals things to them. And the thing we also have to understand as we see ourselves facing this storm and any storm in life is that sometimes we find ourselves in a storm because of disobedience, because we have walked away from the Lord, maybe because we're not living for him as we should. But the disciples in this instance find themselves in this storm out of their obedience because they got in the boat, they obeyed Christ and were following him. And so they find themselves in this storm even though they've been obedient to the Lord. And so as we think about that even today, we find ourselves in the coronavirus and the ramifications and the fallout from that. And the thing is that if we've been obedient to the Lord, then it's no shining on us one way or another. Instead, we find ourselves, just like the disciples, experiencing this storm, finding ourselves in the middle of this storm, having all the effects of the storm, even though we have been obedient to the Lord. The second thing we can notice from this storm is that they had no control over it. Take a look at verses 36 and 37. It says, "And leaving the crowd, they took him with them in the boat, just as he was, and the other boats were with him. And a great windstorm arose, and the waves were breaking into the boat, so that the boat was already filling." See, as you take a look and know something about the Sea of Galilee, it's not uncommon for sudden violent storms to come about. The actual sea is not that large in size, and due to the winds in that area, it is not uncommon for there to be violent storms that come about because of weather conditions. But notice what the situation that the disciples found themselves in, because they find themselves in this ferocious physical storm, a storm that is threatening their very existence as to whether or not they will survive or not. But they're also in what we would consider a ferocious spiritual storm, because they're going to find that they are driven by fear and doubt instead of trusting the Savior that was with them. The psalmist says in Psalm 24, 1 and 2, "The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, the world and all those who dwell therein. For he has founded it upon the seas and established it upon the rivers." See, God is in control of this storm, even though the disciples had no control over it. And Jesus was going to show them his control, show them his steadfastness, his ability to trust the Father no matter what. A third thing we can take a look as a truth from the storm is that they were afraid of it. Take a look at verse 40. The text goes on and says, in Jesus speaking, he said to them, "Why are you so afraid? Have you still no faith?" See, the disciples are showing us how not to respond. because they found themselves in this storm, and many of the disciples that were with him were experienced fishermen. They knew the Sea of Galilee. They knew what they were facing. But yet, as we take a look at the text, as we see how they respond, they are showing us first here how not to respond. And that is out of doubt and fear and allowing their emotions to be affected by the situation they found themselves in. But not only were they afraid of the storm, they did not know who was in the boat with them. If you take a look at verses 38 and 41, in verse 38 it says, "But he was in the stern, asleep on the cushion, and they woke him and said to him, 'Teacher, do you not care that we are all perishing?'" Now the disciples did respond in a way that we should not, out of fear and doubt for their lives, not trusting the one who was in the boat with them. But they also show us how to respond when we find ourselves in a storm. And they woke Jesus. They woke him out of his sleep for him to see what was going on. And that's the very thing that we can do, even as we find ourselves in the middle of this storm called the coronavirus, is that we need, as it were, to wake the Savior. We need to come to him in prayer. We need to read his word and have his truth transform us so that we do not allow fear and doubt to drive us or the situation we find ourselves in or the limitations that we find ourselves in. Instead, we should wake the Savior and watch him work. Verse 38 says, "Do you not care that we are perishing?" And then you look at verse 41, it says, "Who then is this?" It's kind of an odd question to ask, because as they see Jesus's ability to teach things that are coming from a source of authority, as the scriptures say, that it also is something for them to say, "Who is this then, that even the wind and the sea obey him?" So the truth is they don't really realize who is in their presence. They still don't really realize who Jesus is. There's a fifth thing we can take a look at, and that's the storm does not affect the Savior. Notice in verse 38 that he was resting in the stern of the boat. Matter of fact, he was resting so well after being so much in the way of teaching and spending time with people that he needed a rest. And so he was asleep on a cushion as all of this turmoil was going on around him. And so the storm was not affecting Jesus Christ because he was at peace. He trusted his heavenly Father, and he knew that the Father would never leave him and never put him in a situation that, as he looks to him and is obedient to him, would ever misdirect him or not use his righteous right arm to undergird him. But not only did he rest in the boat, he rebuked the wind and the sea. And you'll notice that the order of this, because I think it's very important, because the first thing that Jesus did after the disciples woke him, which is the very thing that they should have done, even though they say, "Do you not care that we are perishing?" The first thing that Jesus does when the disciples go to him, and I found this true of myself, that when I go to the Lord, oftentimes the first thing that he speaks to is the situation itself. And that's exactly what Jesus does. He rebukes the wind and the sea first. So he spoke to the situation first so that he could bring them to a point to understand exactly what he was going to teach them next as he responded to the disciples themselves, as you take a look at verse 40. "Why are you afraid? Have you still no faith?" Now that phrase, "why are you afraid?" The word "afraid" comes from the Greek word dilos, which means full of dread or, by implication, faithless. And so we can find ourselves often when we are in a situation, when we find ourselves in a storm, whatever it may look like or whatever it may be, that we can become afraid. We can become come to the point of being full of dread and even doubting God's watch care over us. And so Jesus is asking in a very hard question. And you may say, "Well, I have a problem with that question. How could Jesus ask, 'Why are you afraid?' Jesus, can't you see what's going on? Our lives are literally hanging on by a thread." But see, the thing is, and the answer to that question, why this is a question we shouldn't have a problem with, but actually gives us a very real solution, is that they forgot Jesus's words to them. take a look back at verse 35. It says, on that day when evening had come, he said to them, let us go across to the other side. See, Jesus was very much assured that they were going to make it to the other side. And he is saying, let us go. I'm coming with you. I am going to be going with you to the other side, to that opposite shore. So that as you see this storm, as you get in the boat and don't realize it's going to happen, as it comes up on you all of a sudden, as a great windstorm, waves breaking over the boat, and all these other boats with him, that Jesus has the right perspective. He has exactly what they need. And the thing is they forgot that Jesus had promised them, let's go to the other side because that's where they were going. See, they let the situation take precedence over the Savior's promise. And the thing is, as we take a look at this coronavirus, oftentimes we can look at all of the fear-mongering that's going on, all of the decisions that are being made that are outside of our control. As we take a look and see all the results of what this situation has done to us, not only from a physical standpoint in limiting our coming and going, but also from a spiritual standpoint to some extent, because we can't gather together. We can't enjoy being in the same room with one another as those who share a like precious faith. We can do so, yes, over the internet, but that's not the same. Because even the disciples did not see who they had in the boat with them when Jesus was in their very presence. And the thing is we find ourselves in this situation. The thing we need to learn and what Jesus was trying to teach the disciples is to not let the situation take precedence over me as the Savior. See, situations are situations. And whatever they end up being, that's what they are. But the other truth in this is that God is God. That God does not change. And so as we find ourselves, even in this year of 2020, a year that, yes, we can see very clearly that some things are outside of our control, is that we cannot let our situation trump God's presence in our lives. Because the moment we do that, we begin being driven by fear and doubt, no matter how you package it, no matter how you look at it, and you miss the very Savior that's in the room. You miss the fact that you have the Holy Spirit residing in each and every one of you as believers. And this is the neat thing about this, because, again, this is a lesson that Jesus is trying to teach them. Notice how they respond in verse 41, because they responded rightly to Jesus. In verse 41, it says, and they were filled with great fear and said to one another, who then is this that even the wind and the sea obey him? I want you to notice the change in the word. Jesus used the word dilos, you know, saying, why are you afraid? And all of a sudden, their response is that they're filled with great fear. It doesn't say they were afraid of Jesus. They were filled with great fear. And the neat thing is this is a completely different Greek word. The Greek word here is phobio, which is a reverential fear or being in awe of something. And so here they have switched from being afraid of what they found themselves in this situation, all the limitations, all the things out of their control, and their focus has changed to a reverential fear of Jesus. They finally see who is in the boat with them. And notice that it says this was an exceedingly great fear because it says, and they were filled with great fear. So this wasn't just a simple, oh, okay, Jesus, that makes sense now. This was, wow, this is Jesus. And he has the ability to help us see beyond the circumstances, beyond the situation, to see that he is, as it is a good example, the anchor in the boat. So let me ask you, how do you respond in the storms of life? What is your first reaction? Are you dilos, afraid because of everything outside of your control, because it's not the normal, because things have been taken away from you, because things aren't the way you would like them to be? Or do you react or respond, is a better word, in a phobio, in fear of the God who made you, the God who is watching over you, the God who is undergirding you with his righteous right arm? See, this is an opportunity for us to remember some of the promises of the scriptures, to be able to embrace them, to see them and make them our first response, as opposed to maybe never being the right response or waiting and exposing ourselves to a lot of fear and doubt. Listen to the words of Paul in Philippians chapter 1, verse 6. He says, I am sure of this. I am sure of this, that he who began a good work in you will complete it in the day of Christ Jesus. There's no doubt there. There's no fear there. Paul says, I am sure of this. And you know what? We can take a look at where we are today and say, I am sure of this, that Jesus Christ, God the Father, and the Holy Spirit still reign on the throne. And that even though there is many things outside of our control, yes, it is difficult. Yes, it is limiting. Yes, it is frustrating. But I am sure of this, that because God has begun a good work in me, as well as in each and every one of you that are believers as part of our church family, or even those that are watching over the internet that may not be part of our church family, God is going to complete what he has begun. Listen to the words of Isaiah, the prophet, as he says in Isaiah 41:10, fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. I've mentioned that phrase multiple times throughout this sermon this morning. And God is saying, fear not, I am with you. God's in the boat. He's in the middle of the crisis. He is here in the storm, and guess what? He has control over all of it. But what he's looking for us to do is not miss that he's right there with us, but instead to look to him, even though there may be a tumultuous storm all raging around us, people that are frantically running around, you know, taking and grabbing every roll of toilet paper out of the grocery store, stocking up on meat and doing all kinds of things that are, you know, based out of fear of what may or may not happen. God says, fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. He says, I will strengthen you. I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. That's God speaking. That's not me as your pastor. That is not your best friend. That's not your mother, your father, any family member. This is God who made you, saying, fear not, I am with you. Listen again to the words of Paul in Philippians chapter 4, verse 19. He says, and my God will supply every need of yours according to his riches in glory in Christ Jesus. This is a promise. God will supply all of your needs. And you need to notice the words because the language is important. But yes, you may find yourself out of work right now. You may find yourself in need of many things that you can't get. But you need to remember is that God is right there in the boat with you, and that Paul says, my God will supply every, not just some, but every need of yours according to his riches and glory. And all of that because of Christ Jesus, who is our Savior. Listen to Peter in 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 6 and 7. It says, humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, so that at the proper time he may exalt you. Notice verse 7, casting all your anxieties on him because he cares for you. Do you notice the personal touch to that? Casting all of your anxieties. So don't hold on to it. Don't let the world dictate to you. Don't let all the fear mongering that's going around drive you to a place that you should not go. Instead, cast it on the Savior because he cares for you. And finally, out of the Gospel of John, chapter 16, verse 33, it says, I have said these things to you, that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation, but take heart, I have overcome the world. And I will repeat this again, is that everything we're experiencing, this storm we find ourselves in, remember the battle has already been won. The war is won. We might find ourselves in skirmishes here and there as we find us drawing closer to the end, which we don't know when that will be. And we look at these things and think, well, Jesus is going to be coming back soon. Well, you know what? That would be an amazing thing. But in the meantime, we have a responsibility to take heart, to make sure that we don't fear, to make sure that we have a confidence like Paul to say that I am sure of this, to remember, don't hold on to it, give it over to the Lord, because God has overcome the world. See, Jesus was the anchor in the boat. He was that stronghold, that foundation, that sure thing that the disciples, once their eyes were opened up and they began to see exactly who Jesus was and his power exhibited there, we need to remember that Jesus is our anchor now. Yes, the storm is still raging around us. Yes, all the repercussions of that storm are all part of our lives, but Jesus is the anchor in the storm. Some unknown author wrote, to realize the worth of the anchor, we need to feel the wrath of the storm. And we find ourselves in the middle of the storm. And so my encouragement to you, the same encouragement that Jesus was bringing the disciples full circle after teaching all day, after finding himself getting a little bit of a rest, still saw a teaching opportunity to show as he not only rested, but rebuked the wind and the rain and responded to the disciples. He wanted them to see that he was the anchor in the storm, even though they couldn't physically see it. And I think this has ramifications on a spiritual level for us even today. To remember that the Lord our rock, in him we hide, secure whatever ill betide, a shade by day, a defense by night, no fears alarm, no foes affright. The raging storms may round us beat, we'll never leave our safe retreat. O rock divine, O refuge dear, be thou our helper ever near. O Jesus is a rock in a weary land. Let's bow for a closing word of prayer. Gracious Heavenly Father, we do thank you for the truth here in Mark chapter 4. We thank you that Jesus taught the disciples exactly what they needed to hear. And that they received it because their being afraid of their circumstances changed to that being out of a reverential fear for the Savior. And may each one of us realize that in our lives today, because there are still difficult times ahead. And Lord, we know that we can always see you as the foundation, as the rock, as the anchor in all of this. May we not give in to all of the fear-mongering and allow that to affect keeping our eyes focused on you. We pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.